Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. What does Jesus teach about money? On today's program, we continue our series, The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached, with Dr. John Neufeld, covering an important topic for all of us. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, as we study a message on wise financial management.
I have, through most of my life, struggled with my weight. I have many times thought, I wish my problem were simple, like alcohol or tobacco. I'd just go cold turkey, I'd grit my teeth and stay away from it entirely. But what can I do about food? I still have to eat, a little less, I know, but that's just like teasing myself with food, no easy task. Money is like that. It is needed for living, but it can also kill you. According to 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's caused some to abandon the faith, and it has wounded many people with all kinds of misery. And you need it just to survive. Lee Iacocca once said, "Be careful around money. When you have $5,000, you'll want $10,000. When you have $10,000, you'll want $20,000. John Rockefeller was once asked, "How much money does it take to satisfy a man completely?" And he responded, "Takes a little more than he presently has." See, that's the misery of this thing called money. Many of us are aware that Jesus spent more time talking about money than pretty well any other theme. 16 of his 33 parables center on money, and a great many of his encounters with people are around money. I think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, or the rich young ruler. These are stories most of us remember, and money is at the center. And so it comes as no surprise as Jesus is preaching this, the greatest sermon ever preached, where he describes how to live life in the kingdom, where he covers every topic from anger to lust to divorce to loving your enemies and to prayer, that he now comes to speak about money. Let's hear what he has to say in Matthew 6, 19 to 24. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now those are powerful words, but we wonder, are those words realistic? Look at it again, first half of verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Are we to assume that we are to have no savings account or no retirement incomes, no life insurance policies, no home ownership, no other investment? Because if that's the case, we're all out of sorts with Jesus today. Now, before we attempt to answer that, let's lay down the theme for today's message. What Jesus is talking about is wise financial management, the kind that is befitting of one of his disciples. But what kind of financial manager teaches us not to make investments? Well, he is telling us to make investments, but not where we have been making them. Don't invest in this earth. It's passing away. The advent of the kingdom of heaven means that the kingdoms of this earth are passing away. Hence, to invest in this present age, well, it's a bad risk. But let's put this into context. Remember that Jesus already told us, according to chapter 5, verse 17, that he had not come to overthrow the Old Testament. And as you might know, there is a great deal in the Old Testament about wise use of money. One of the first of these that comes to mind is in the book of Genesis, in the story of Joseph. You'll remember that Joseph, very wisely led by God, saved up grain for 7 years, making sure that when the 7 years of famine arrived in Egypt, there'd be more than enough for everyone. And that's a key example of using your money wisely for future eventualities. That means that for 7 years, Joseph stored up wealth on earth. Was he sinning? No. He was obeying God. Or consider Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. And so when it's summer, that's the time to work, so that when winter comes, there will be plenty. Invest now. Store up for the time when you can't do so. Or consider Proverbs 13, verse 11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. That's not just a statement of fact. That's an encouragement to learn wisdom in increasing your money, not by big risks, but by a lifetime of careful investments in this earth. You know, these kinds of themes are carried on into the New Testament. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." In other words, we should be providing financial resources. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 14 even encourages parents to save up for their children. So let's get back to Jesus. Don't lay up treasures on earth. What could he have meant? Well, let's pay close attention. Let's begin by noticing what happens to all the treasures we store up on earth. Answer, none of them lasts. In the time of Jesus, wealth was often measured in terms of precious metals and expensive fabrics. But Jesus knew about a tiny little insect that would lay unseen eggs into wool, and at the larval stage, it would feed on the cloth and utterly destroy it, leaving it useless. You could invest in rich fabric, getting nothing in the end. In the same way, today, you can invest in beachfront property, and a tsunami might come and wipe off that piece of land from the earth. Online thieves or scam artists like Bernie Madoff, other things happen, and a lifetime of investing in this earth is sometimes lost. Jesus is saying all your earthly investments are bad ones because none of them lasts. Some of you read the very excellent biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas. Dietrich's father, Karl, was the head of psychiatry at the University of Berlin. Metaxas reports that he spent a lifetime paying into a retirement fund only to see in the 1920s runaway inflation in Germany render his lifetime of work and savings to be utterly lost. In the end, inflation was so bad that all he could buy for everything he had saved for a lifetime was one bottle of wine and a few fresh strawberries. With that, everything he had worked for was gone. Can that happen in our day? Well, yeah, it does. Whether it's a worldwide depression or a reversal in fortune or our own death, none of the earthly investments last. Earth offers no lasting security. See, when Jesus says, "Do not lay treasures on earth," he's not contradicting the Old Testament counsel of wise financial management. Rather, he is saying that one ought not to set one's affections here, on this earth, in this era. For to set one's heart on this earth is to show a lack of interest in the kingdom to come. All earth's investments are unsafe. There was a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation program, Dragon's Den. It used to star a man who became famous for saying two things. First, he would say, "It's about the money." That was the driving motivation in his life. And second was when he said that the only two ethics he had when it came to investment was, first, is it legal? And second, will it make even more money? And here's the problem with that mindset. Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" When we die, which comes sometimes suddenly and unexpectedly, and when Jesus comes again, all the work of a lifetime of investing, like Karl Bonhoeffer's lifetime of investing, except in eternity, your lifetime funds won't buy you a bottle of wine and a bowl of strawberries. You will die and you will keep nothing. When Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth," he meant it. He doesn't mean don't take care of life's eventualities as best as possible, even though doing so might not work out. He means don't look for the earth to bring you your reward. The earth only brings loss in the end. All things invested in this earth are destined to perish. In contrast, here is where safe investments are found. They are found in heaven. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And here's the point. You can invest in treasure that will never pass away. Here's how we invest. You can invest in gospel advancement, in ministry to the poor in the name of Jesus, in ensuring that the gospel is preached, in missions, in your local church. Invest in these. And as 1 Timothy 6:19 says, to those with money, they ought to be ready to share their money, thus storing up treasure for themselves, says 1 Timothy, as a good foundation for the future. In other words, you can take it with you, but you have to send it on ahead. Invest in the advancement of the kingdom, and that investment pays eternal dividends. I think a great many of us have difficulty imagining that. But those who hoard their investments in this life will lose it all in the end.
What is our attitude towards money and investments? In this well-known passage from the Sermon on the Mount, we are starting to understand how Jesus spoke about treasures on earth and how our view of money impacts so much of our lives. So far, one thing is clear. Whatever we invest in this life for earthly pleasures or pursuits is bound to pass away. But whatever we invest for the kingdom and for God will never be wasted. When we return, Dr. Neufeld continues to discuss the radical implications of being people who invest our hearts in what really matters. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. The Bible contains many passages about the topic of wisdom. Here are a few examples. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Or how about Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12 says, "For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it." Wisdom is a critically important issue for all believers to understand and apply it. Hopefully, you have had a chance to listen to Dr. Neufeld's recent series on the subject called Skillful Living, focusing on Proverbs, known as wisdom literature. We learned all about what it means to live a wise and godly life. This great series is available on CD for our valuable listeners. To receive it, call us at 9492-440070 or email at info@backtothebible.in.